Last month, I was on a flight out of Abbotsford to Calgary and was fortunate to fly on a mostly clear day and sitting by the window. During the flight, I was able to pass the time by trying to figure out where we were by the topography. It was easy right after takeoff with all the roads and landmarks to identify, but it was more challenging when it was by local mountains and lakes. And the last recognizable landmarks for me were the Rocky Mountains. After that, I was unfamiliar with the terrain until I recognized Calgary by the Saddle Dome and the skyline. In a way, that flight is a lot like our text this morning. It starts off by preparing us for a long journey. It then focuses on the details of discerning who will be the bride by a faithful servant. Then it moves on to the negotiation and the dowry, then the long journey through a different land. And it finishes off with the bride seeing her groom at her new home where she is loved. I think it is also a picture of the Christian life and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Could you please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24? So in this text, there are what we call types. We've seen these before Genesis chapter 22. A type is something which represents something else. A type of scripture is a person or a thing in the Old Testament which foreshadows a person or thing in the New Testament. Adam sacrifices Isaac is a foreshadowing of the Heavenly Father and Jesus on the cross. We see that from Hebrews chapter 11, 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received them back as a type. Today we will look at Abraham, who is a type of the Heavenly Father. We'll look at Isaac as a type of Jesus. But we'll also look at the servant as a type of the Holy Spirit. And we'll look at Rebecca as a type of Christian. Or basically, Rebecca is a picture of you and me. So let's go to our text. Chapter 24, verse 1. Now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned, "Please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I live. But you will go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac." The servant said to him, "Suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Should I take your son back to the land from where you came?" Then Abraham said, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me and who swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this my oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant placed his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master and set out with a variety of good things of his master in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water, at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. He said, "O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, 'Please let down your jar so that I may drink,' and who answers, "Drink, and I will water your camels also. May she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master." Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and no man had had relations with her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me drink a little water from your jar." She said, "Drink, my lord." And she quickly lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a drink. Now when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw also from your camels until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw. And she drew for all his camels. Meanwhile, the man was gazing at her in silence to know whether the Lord had made his journey successful or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels in gold and said, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room for us to lodge in your father's house?" She said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor." Again she said to him, "We have plenty of both straw and feed and room to lodge in." Then the man bowed low and worshipped the Lord. He said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth towards my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers." Then the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran outside to the man at the spring. When he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, "This is what the man said to me," he went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. And he said, "Come in, blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside, since I have prepared the house and a place for the camels?" So the man entered the house. Then Laban unloaded the camels, and he gave straw and feed to the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the feet of the men who were with him. But when food was set out before him to eat, he said, "I will not eat until I have told my business." And he said, "Speak on." So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master so that he has become rich, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. Now Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master in her old age, and she has given him all that she has. My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house and to my relatives and take a wife for my son.' I said to my master, 'Suppose the woman does not follow me?' He said to me, 'The Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you to make your journey successful, and you will take a wife for your son from my relatives and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my relatives. And if they do not give her to you, you will be free from my oath.' So I came today to the spring and said, 'O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will make my journey on which I go successful, behold, I am standing by the spring, and may it be that the maiden who comes out to draw and to whom I say, 'Please let me drink a little water from your jar,' and she will say to me, 'You drink, and I will draw. You drink, and I will draw for your camels also.' Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son." Before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder and went down to the spring and drew. And I said to her, "Please let me drink." And she quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and she said, "Drink, and I will water your camels also." So I drank, and she watered the camels also. Then I asked her and said, "Whose daughter are you?" And she said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him." And I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist, and I bowed low and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had guided me in the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. So now, if you are going to deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, let me know, that I may turn to the right hand or the left." Then Laban and Bethuel replied, "The matter comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken." When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the ground before the Lord. The servant brought out articles of silver and articles of gold and garments, and he gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night. When they arose in the morning, he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the girl stay with us a few days, say 10, afterwards she may go." And he said to them, "Do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the girl and consult her wishes." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." Thus they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. They blessed Rebekah and said to her, "May you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them." Then Rebekah arose with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac had come from going to Beer Lahai Roy, for he was living in the Negev. Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. She said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "He is my master." Then she took her veil and covered herself. The servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Okay, halfway there. Okay, verses 1 to 9. Abraham is now about 140 years old, and Isaac is 40. And the Lord has been faithful in doing all that he had promised. And now the next part of the promise, the continuation of the seed line. The promise that started in the garden, the promise made to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:15, the promise of a redeemer and the promise of descendants more numerous than the stars in the night sky or sand on the seashore. It is now time to find the perfect bride for his son Isaac. And that bride could be his newly discovered relative, Rebekah, granddaughter to his brother Nahor, that was mentioned at the end of chapter 22. Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel. Abraham, being too old to make this trip, calls his oldest servant, who could be Eleazar from Genesis 15, to be in charge of this mission of getting a bride for his son. The servant was in charge of all that Abraham owned. He made him take an oath stipulating that he must not get a bride from the Canaanites, but from his relatives in Mesopotamia. Just as Abraham gives his wealth and power and sends out his servant to find a bride as a gift for his son, Isaac, God the Father sends out the Holy Spirit to find a bride as a gift for his only son, Jesus. See this in John chapter 6, verse 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." God has given the mission of drawing us to Jesus to the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I said to you." The servant is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And even though this could be Eleazar, his name is not given, just as the Holy Spirit has no name. In verse 5, knowing the importance of this task, the servant clarifies his responsibilities regarding the reluctance a woman would have in leaving the security of her home and family to travel with a stranger to a distant place to be married to someone they knew little about and have never seen. He inquires about this most likely situation. Suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Should I take your son back to the land from where you came? Abraham makes it clear, do not take my son back there. Abraham states that just as the Lord, the God of heaven, took him out of the land of his birth, the servant is to take a bride for his son from the same place. Do you know that we are a loved gift from the Father to his son? Back in Genesis 22, when Abraham offered Isaac, it was a picture of the heavenly Father offering his son for our sins as a gift. We see this in John 3:16. Today, the heavenly Father offers us to Jesus as a gift to be his bride. John 6:37. I'll just read a few of these passages, mostly out of John. John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. And about six of them out of John 17. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. John 17:6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given, who you have gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. John 17:9, I ask on your behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And John 17:24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see the glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. In verse 5, the servant said to him, suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. This is the first use of the word willing, ava, in the Bible. It means to will, to be willing, to consent. It is mostly found, like in this case, with a negative particle, meaning not willing. Won't, not willing, refuse to be willing, not willing. It's a negative sense. Here we have a description of how the Holy Spirit works at drawing us to Christ. He does not force us to follow Jesus. Jesus describes a similar picture in Matthew 22:1-14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited for the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fattened livestock, all are butchered and everything is ready, come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called means that many have been invited to the wedding feast. The few that are chosen are those who receive the calling, The many that reject it are the ones thrown into outer darkness. Paul clarifies this in in Romans 1, 18 to 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Romans 1:20 clearly states that every man knows God's eternal power and divine nature, and they are without excuse. Many choose to deny God as their creator. Which brings us to point number one. God allows us to decide if we are willing to be a love gift from the Father to his Son. But the Father knows what we will choose. Ephesians 1, 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Verse 7, he will send his angel before you. God is always at work in our lives, making everything work to the good of those who are his. Romans 8, 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps out our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of God, to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these he predestined, he also called, and these whom he called, he also justified, and these whom he justified, he also glorified. And actually, just look at verse 30 there, that where it says, called, justified, glorified. Those elements are all present in our story today. Now, we focus on the beginning, the calling part, and we focus on the end part, the glorified, is emphasized, but it's the two middle ones, where there's a justified and sanctified in there, there's a little bit of that, not a lot. It's kind of like flying in the plane and looking down, just a glimpse, but it's there. There is no doubt that we are predestined. The hard question is, how are we called? I think the Holy Spirit is working on our heart and mind, preparing us to hear the gospel. How he does this, I do not understand. But there is a hint in verse 7. Verse 7 emphasizing that it will happen because the Lord, the God of heaven, will send his angel before you. And you will take a wife from my son from there. The God of heaven will send his angel. And it will happen. I have a suspicion that this angel may be the Holy Spirit at work. It's my suspicion. Abraham gives him only one cause for failure, and that is if she is not willing to follow the servant. And under no circumstances is the son to go back there. Fully understanding his mission, the servant promises his master under oath to make it happen. Verse 10. The servant took 10 camels to carry some men and a variety of gifts from his master on a journey that would take about a month and cover over 500 miles or 800 kilometers. This is like from here to Edmonton, traveling to the city of Abraham's brother, Nahor. Just as the servant left his home and family to search out a bride for his master's son, so does the Holy Spirit, seeking to call those who belong to the Son. When he gets there, he waits outside the city by the well. He knows that the woman of the city will come to the well in the cool of the evening to get their water. The servant has spent most of his life with his master, by his side, waiting on direction from his master Abraham. Now he is out on his own, far away from his master's counsel, and having to make important decisions in an unfamiliar place. So the servant picks up the phone and calls the boss. No. But the servant, in verse 12, the servant prays, "O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham." He asks of the Lord for a sign that he may know he has chosen the right woman, not only for Isaac's bride, but also the mother of the promised Redeemer. What a burden that must have been. I think today, does anyone here have an arranged marriage? Just throwing it out there, okay? None? Okay, good. Well, not good, because I think sometimes it's a blessing that way. We think we know how to choose our lifelong partner, and you know, we get married, and I am happily married 33 years, and the Lord did bless me with the opportunity to choose to be introduced to my bride. I won't say I chose her, but brought us together. But it's one thing for a parent to choose a lifelong partner for their child. And the burden. So when anything goes wrong down the road, that woman you put with me, Adam and Eve in the garden, that woman you put with me, they had someone to point their finger at God. And I think that would come back to the parents. Wow, that woman you got me. But here it's the servant going out to pick this. What a burden and the responsibility that must be. I couldn't imagine it. Point number two. In order to know God's will, we need to make ourselves vulnerable. We need to daily seek the Lord's counsel by studying the Word of God and spending time in prayer. But we also need to get out and do what the Lord directs us to. Behold, I am standing, so the servant prays, "Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, 'Please let down your jar so that I may drink,' and who answers, 'Drink, and I will water your camels also,' may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master." Well, that is out there on a limb, seeking the Lord, a sign from the Lord. Good sign. So verse 15. As he is still praying, Rebecca approaches with a jar on her shoulder, and the servant notes that she is very beautiful, a virgin, as she goes down to the spring to fill her jar. As she returns, the servant ran. There's the sense of urgency in both of their, the servant is urgent, he runs, he's always quick. And same thing with Rebecca. She is quick to do everything here. So the adjectives in here kind of all point there. And the servant notes that she is a very beautiful virgin. She goes down to the spring to fill her jar. As she returns, the servant ran to meet her and says, "Please let me drink a little water from your jar." Often we need to wait on the Lord for answered prayer. But in verse 15, it is immediate. The Lord answers quickly. We see this from Isaiah 65:24. "It will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear." In Matthew 6:8, "So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." In verse 18, she said, "Drink, my Lord," and she quickly lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a drink. Now when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking." Now, this is not an easy task. One camel can consume 25 gallons of water. That's 250 gallons with a jar. If it held 3 gallons, that would be about 83 trips with a 25-pound jar. She quickly emptied her jar and ran back to the well, and she drew water for all his camels. The servant watched her, trying to discern if she is the one the Lord has called. When I say quick, 83 trips. Now, we don't know how far away from the well, but 83 trips hauling water back, that's going to take a considerable amount of time, especially if I was the one doing it, but she's quick. Verse 22, when she had finished and the camels had finished drinking, meaning she fetched water until they were full, the servant took a gold nose ring weighing 1/5 of an ounce of gold and 2 gold bracelets for her wrists weighing 4 ounces, and gave them to her for her service. Just as the servant gave gifts from his master for her service, the Holy Spirit does the same for us. The servant said, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room for us to lodge in your father's house? I am the daughter of Bethuel. We have plenty of both straw and feed and room to lodge in." Do we have room in our life for the Holy Spirit to dwell in? Or do we try to keep him outside? Verse 26. Then the servant responded to the confirmation that this was the girl by bowing low and worshiping the Lord, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth towards my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers. The servant is prayerful and thankful." Do we recognize and acknowledge when the Lord has guided us in the way that we should go? Point number 3, when we trust in the Lord, he will guide us in his perfect way. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Verse 28. Rebekah then ran and told her mother's household, including her brother Laban, who ran outside to greet the man at the spring after seeing the ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist. And when he heard what the man had said to his sister, Laban went to the man as he was standing by the camels at the spring. "Come in, blessed of the Lord. Why stand outside?" And Laban unloaded the camels. I'm not sure if Laban is a foreshadow of anything, but there are clues to his nature. His noticing the material things and his desire for them will materialize in a few chapters from now. In verse 33, but when food was set before him to eat, the servant says, "I will not eat until I have told my business." And he said, "Speak on." The servant wastes no time in sharing about the blessings of his master, his wealth in silver and gold, as well as servants and livestock, and how Isaac was born to them at such an old age, and he has given him all that he has, his instructions to find a bride, and the oath that he took. He shares all about his prayer at the spring and how Rebekah answered it perfectly. Then he finds out that she is the one that is his master. She is the one that his master had heard about, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, and I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist. In verse 48, and I bowed low and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had guided me in the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. The servant's testimony speaks not of himself, but of his master's riches and Isaac's heirship. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Point number 4. Our urgent mission is to make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." After sharing all, verse 49, after sharing all that the Lord God had shown him regarding Rebekah, the servant is not afraid to ask for a straight answer from Laban and Bethuel. Does he have their approval? Should he look elsewhere, or can he approach Rebekah? The servant does not linger for speculation when he wants a definitive answer today. Felix was once convicted by the word of God and put it off to another day, along with his wife Drusilla. That day never came. It's a story from Acts 24, verse 24. But with Paul was imprisoned in Caesarea, and Felix was in charge, and he came down to talk with Paul. But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you." And I know from my study on that text that Drusilla, she dies 2 years later. We know this by fact because she is one of two that are mentioned by name who died in the eruption at Mount Vesuvius in Pompeii. And there's no sign from both of those of ever coming to the Lord. Playing with the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, "And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'At the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" Tomorrow is the enemy's weapon, Satan's weapon. Verse 49, point number 5. It is not our job to coerce others to trust in the Lord. The servant was a faithful witness to all the Lord had done for him. He shared the truth, and that was all. He did not bribe them or threaten them or even argue with them. The Holy Spirit knows our heart, mind, and spirit, and has patience for us to move, but he knows when we won't. Laban and Bethuel reply, "The matter comes from the Lord, so we cannot speak to you good or speak to you bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken." Verse 52. When he hears their answer confirming his master's plan, he bowed himself to the ground before the Lord. The servant is always giving thanks and acknowledging the Lord's glory. Now the servant hands out the gifts of silver and gold from his master, giving them to Rebekah and precious things to her brother and to her mother. Just as the servant blesses Rebekah with gifts, the Holy Spirit pours out his gifts on us. We receive the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He also seals us in Christ. See this in Ephesians 1, verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who has given us a pledge for our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Then we are blessed with spiritual gifts to bring glory to God 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the same one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another very kinds of tongues, and another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. It is the same Spirit at work in us. Verse 54. They spent the night, and in the morning he said, "Send me away to my master." Her brother and her mother asked for Rebekah to stay a few days, say 10, afterwards she may go. And here's a mystery. I don't have the answer for it, and if you want to go down a rabbit hole, who is Rebekah's mother? There you go. Don't leave yet, but have fun. When you get to the rabbis in the Talmud, you know, gets interesting. "Do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way." There's urgency. It's on a mission. "We will call the girl and consult her wishes. Ask, will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." There is a lot of commitment in those three words. Kind of like saying, "I do." Rebekah will most likely never see her family again. She will be traveling with a man she has only known for less than a day. To be married to a person she has only heard about. Think about it. Would you go? Point number 6. Knowing and believing is not enough. We need to put our trust in the Lord Jesus. We cannot just have Jesus as our Savior, freeing us from our sins. He must first be our Lord, the one we look forward to seeing. Verse 61, "Then Rebekah arose with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed." Map, please. Map. Okay, that's over 500 miles. What a journey. It's like traveling from here to Edmonton on camel. Okay. Long journey. This one verse describes our journey through this life. Rebekah follows the servant for hundreds of miles through dangerous and unfamiliar territory on a camel, trusting him to take her down the right path, to provide food and shelter along the way, and to keep her safe from wild animals, from thieves, and robbers, ultimately bringing her to the one she is to marry. See the parallel between us going through this world, following the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life, bringing us to the one we are to marry? Verse 62. "Now Isaac had come from going down to Beer Lahai Roy, for he was living in the Negev. Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening." The last time we saw Isaac was in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son. The last time that the world saw Jesus was on the cross, when the Heavenly Father sacrificed Jesus for our sin. So here's the romantic part. "He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming." His heart fluttered. "Then Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel." Point number 7. We need to live each day anticipating the day that we shall see our Lord face to face. A day is coming when we will lift up our eyes and we will see Jesus face to face. Job knew this. In Job 19, actually, this is probably even before the story of the life of Rebekah. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see, and not another. My heart faints within me. And 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 to 18, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him with those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will remain and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Does the thought of meeting the Lord eye to eye comfort you? Sometimes I think it makes me a little nervous, but 1 Peter 1:8. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. In verse 65, she said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "He is my master." Then she took the veil and covered herself. Rebekah displays modesty by covering herself, a righteous trait. We will veil ourselves in Christ's blood, Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In Revelation 19:7, let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then she said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." Verse 66. Then the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. It would be easy to overlook this verse, but it is an important one. The servant gives a report of his faithfulness to his master's calling and gets to hear his master's approval. Matthew 25:21, the master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And we will all be in this situation one day. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. In verse 67, then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Just as Isaac took Rebekah to his mother's tent, Jesus will take his bride, the church, to the place he has prepared for them, and he will love her. That word love is the same word that was used to describe the love that Abraham had for Isaac. Ahed. The sense of having a strong emotional attachment to and a desire to either possess or to be in the presence of that object. It is used to describe the love that the Heavenly Father has for his Son. It is the same love that Jesus has for those who are his. Isaiah 62, verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. and for Jerusalem's sake I will not keep quiet, until her righteousness goes forth like brightness, and her salvation like a torch that is burning. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. You will also be a crown of beauty in the land of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. It will no longer be said to you, forsaken, nor to your land will it any longer be said, desolate, but you will be called, my delight is in her, and your land, married. For the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. One day the bridegroom will rejoice over you. And the Holy Spirit will share all the ways that our lives have brought glory to God. Notice that when we are there, we will say together with the Spirit, come, Revelation 22, 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. Are we willing to be a love gift from the Father to his Son? Are we standing in a place of action, waiting on the Lord? Is the Lord guiding you in his way? Do you make sharing the good news a priority? Is your witnessing straightforward and complete? Have you said, I will go to the Lord? Do you look forward to the day that we shall see our Lord face to face? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you our praise. We give you our honor. Lord, we lift you up as our holy God. You are righteous in all your ways. And Lord, you desire for us to walk before you and to be blameless in your sight. And Father, in our own ability, we are incapable of doing that, but you have blessed us with your Son. And Lord, you have indwelt us with your Holy Spirit, your servant. And Father, I just pray that we would be gracious to your Holy Spirit as he is to us. Lord, that we would delight to please him. Lord, that we would delight to honor him. And Lord, that we would not grieve him in the things we do. Father, I thank you for everyone who could be here this morning. I thank you for their desire to know you, to know your word, and to know your truth. And Lord, to see it manifest in our life here at all of it as a body. And Father, I pray that we would be a bride that is dressed in white, that is not ashamed to declare who our Master is. And Father, we do look forward to the day when we will see you face to face. And Lord, that we get to lay our crowns before you. And again, thank you for your word and your truth, Lord, and pray that it would be in our hearts, and Lord, that you give us the opportunity to be able to witness and to share what you have done for us and the many things that you have done to bless us. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.